Boy, when they call New York the city that never sleeps, they must be talking about enduring Mets fans waiting for a World Series victory. Ballgame metrics are unparalleled puppy geschmucks. Bottom of the ninth bottle of beer now, who's counting? Glug's beer.
Welcome to episode 67 of Mets on Tap, a drinking podcast from BarleyPros.com talking about Mets baseball. Pour yourself a beer, grab a seat in the bleachers, and have a chat with us. I'm Michael, here today with everyone. And I've got Jason and Jake and Chris and Bobby.
The gang's all here.
Yes.
Welcome back, Chris. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
It's like nobody ever left. It's like we just right back at it.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we're coming up on a very exciting week after months of pretending to appreciate and enjoy other sports. Real life, regular season baseball is upon us. Day too soon. My NCAA brackets were busted literally on the first day because I picked Kentucky to win the tournament. And I said, okay, enough basketball. Let's get into baseball, please.
Hear, hear.
I'm excited. I have a ticket to opening day. If it doesn't rain, it looks like it's going to rain, but you know, they did that to me last year too. I bought a expensive ticket and it rained, and then it was Good Friday and my kids were off from school and I couldn't go, and I ended up losing like $30 on it. So hopefully year's better.
Yeah. Where's your seat?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know.
I just picked the cheapest one. I figured if I'm going by myself, I'll just wander.
Walk around. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cheaper this year. Everything's like $40 cheaper this year than it was last year. And I don't know if that's just like people catch on to how much of a scam the secondary market is and StubHub and everything. And the weather's terrible. They're just like, I'll just wait and see what happens.
Huh. I'm okay with the idea of them marking some of the prices down. I'm still sore about my $40 parking fee that I was assessed last year. I think I've ranted about that in every single podcast episode we've done this year so far, though. So,
and no tonight as well. That. Check.
Pass. Now, yes, we're checking another box here.
Check the box.
Mets open the season against Milwaukee. Milwaukee, much like the Mets, has some different guys than they had a year ago. I pulled up the lineups, and if you had quizzed me and said, how many of the projected starting lineup could you have said were Milwaukee Brewers, I would have come up with Christian Yelich, and probably that's about it.
Yeah. It's Freddy Peralta versus Jose Quintana. We've got a whole starting lineup. It's on the Mets 880, wins 92.3 HD2. It's got the whole preview thing going on. Games are really happening.
The Mets are bulletproof on opening day. That's the only thing I think the Mets really have going for them.
Correct. That's our one pride and joy.
We peak early. It's not really the best thing you want in a team that you're a fan of to have the peak be in March. It's, you know, unfortunate really in that sense.
Good day to be Jose Quintana though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm excited for the guy. He had a great second half for the Mets last year. He was kind of steady Eddie up there. And I was reading today, it's actually his second ever opening day appearance. He opened the 2017 season for the White Sox, but his first opening day start as Met. And it's unfortunate that Kodai Senga couldn't take the bump as I think he was expected to coming into the season. But you know, the rotation in Florida, it being Florida and it being pretend baseball and all that, the rotation overall, I think, pitched pretty well this spring.
Yeah, and the Mets sadly did not get Jordan Montgomery. I think they're waiting for his stock to drop really, really drop rock bottom. But he was announced Diamondbacks. Yeah, $25 million.
He signed today?
Just now.
This is breaking news show, Jason. Yeah, come on.
I actually checked earlier today and he hadn't signed. Where did he go? Did he go to St. Louis?
Diamondbacks. Oh,
Diamondbacks. Good. Further away, the better.
Yeah. One year, 25 with a player option for another 25 if he makes 10 starts. So good for him.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, he was going to pitch somewhere, you know, so.
It is kind of fascinating that the whole thing with the Boras 5, none of them, they all signed for less than half of what they were forecasted to get all those months ago when they were all looking at $150 million deals, and you know, JD Martinez signs for 12 and it's all deferred.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They basically got him for free at this point. Like,
pretty much
they're paying him for nothing and like, oh, we'll pay you a little bit. He's getting what 1.5 million in like 10 years. Like,
no, that's, I Yeah, nothing. he's getting $4.5 million this year, and the rest is $8 million deferred over a 5-year stretch or something like that, starting 10 years out from now. It'll be a nice pension for him. It'll pay for his grandkids' college fund or whatever it'll be up to. Right. Good for him, you know.
Maybe it'll pay for his grandkids'. I mean, yeah, $1.5 million in 2032 is like.
Well, hopefully they want to go to community college. That's right. All, you know. But you know, and it's a smart deal. Although he got some ribbing on the internet, I'm told, because he said, you know, he is addicted to the playoffs, and people said, you realize you signed with the Mets, people taking shots at our beloved Mets, but
they got shots at the playoffs.
I think they do, especially with how many teams they let in, and right. And honestly, think it was a better fit for him lineup wise than most of the other teams that they were kicking the tires on. They really had a DH spot with the carpet rolled out for him, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess he had a decent offer at San Francisco, but he didn't like the park factor there, and it's not hitter friendly. And he was worried that, you know, at his age, 36, I think he said if he hits 20 homers, they're going to call him washed up. So let's hope he's at least washed up for us this year.
He hit the ball real well last year. It's encouraging. And he's really, I think, for the first time, a proper power bat to hit behind Alonso in the lineup. I can't recall at any point since he's been a major leaguer where that was the case.
Well, the second half of last year with Alvarez, the Mets have a lot of pop right now.
Yeah, he was streaky.
I feel like Alvarez, like he was batting eighth most of this. Like, I feel like he wasn't protecting Alonso for the most part.
No, he's not ever had that bat behind him in the lineup. And I didn't, and it's Alonso's walk here, and he's going to have some protection. And I'm curious to see, you know, how it impacts his numbers, but it really just, it's the exact opposite of what the Diaz effect was from last year, right? You know, last year Diaz goes down in a crumple and everyone has to slot up. This is the opposite. You bring Martinez in late, everyone slots down. Everyone's got that much less pressure on them to hit. All the guys who come, specifically the whole second half of the lineup, Marte and Beatty and Alvarez even too, you know, they're all that much less pressured with Martinez's bat in that lineup to help them. So I think it's great.
Yeah. And from what I read today, Shohei Ohtani says take the over on the number of home runs that JD Martinez will hit, which I think is a safe bet. So that's good.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
Yeah. Ohtani laying 8-5. I'm pretty confident here. This is a good sign for the 2024 Mets.
I'm just saying, you know, that's the thing.
We're reading the tea leaves here. No, I don't disagree with you. I'm excited. It's baseball and it's going to be on TV and the games are going to count. And it's really that, you know, that spring optimism is unique too, right? Even an Oakland A's fan or a Pittsburgh Pirates fan right now is feeling pretty good.
No, Oakland A's, but
going maybe too far in one direction there.
In a general sense, maybe, but
It's the season of optimism. Season of hope right here is the spring.
And a lot of teams make the playoffs. I mean, the Mets, I mean, things could go wrong, things could go right, but it's nice to have that extra bat in there.
I'm sad for the loss of the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's were they were different. You know, like the colors were different.
Yeah, they have a little bit of character.
I always felt like they occupied a different baseball space in my head for a long time. And it's going to be weird to not have them around. I mean, I guess it was weird to not have the Expos at first, but Expos, it's still weird.
I mean, if the A's go to Vegas and embrace some of the weird out there culture you can do in Vegas, that could be fun too, if that happens, because that seems like just as fraught with disaster right now. But
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll ask the A's on tap guys when we get there.
Right. We'll have a little podcast swap.
That's a fantastic idea. I assume they're way drunker than us based on recent
history. Goodness, yes.
You would think, wouldn't you? I don't know how the good craft beers coming out of Oakland are, but you just assume that there's some coping-based consumption going on there.
Yeah, I think their podcast is, which 128-ounce cocktail are you drinking out of of some kind of oval tonight? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they go and they record it in the upper deck at the Coliseum because it's quiet up there and it's a good place for podcasting. Yeah.
So I guess we're 2 days away from opening day. What spots on the 26 man roster are not finalized? A couple of spots at the back of the bullpen.
Just a bullpen spot, yeah. I think two bullpen spots. I think I have it pulled up. It's they're talking about we got Johan Ramirez, Sean Reed Foley, and Michael Tonkin for the last two spots, according to Giacomo. But
and the bench is going to be Narvaez, Zach Short.
Zach Short made the team.
DJ Stewart,
Stewart,
Beatty. I guess Beatty's third guy's.
No, Beatty's third baseman.
Yeah.
I can give you that. The other infielder guy, Joey Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell, Devaris, Tyrone Taylor.
Tyrone Taylor, that's the guy I couldn't think of, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who any of those dudes are. I feel
Taylor like was the Brewers guy.
DJ Stewart, I remember. He was on the Mets last year. But Joey Wendell used to play for the Reds?
I remember him as a Ray, I believe.
Same, yeah. But he might have been a Red for all we know.
Bounced around, probably. I'll pull it up real fast. I recognize the name. It doesn't mean he's good or anything. Yeah, I played for the Rays and the A's. Look at that. And the Marlins.
I never played for the Reds. All right, I made that up. Sorry. Yeah, it's on their bench, guys. Who cares, right? They're, you know, if they're playing, things have already gone sideways. Right.
Yes, if Joey Wendell's getting 300 at bats, something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, he's just one of those contact guys, puts the ball in play and mostly makes out. And but yeah, his depth guy, you know, what do they have him for? They have him making, they actually have him getting 238 plate appearances, but that's not terrible, I guess, as like a bench rotate backup guy.
Yeah, I'd be more curious to see at what point I bump into Mark Vientos here in Syracuse, just, you know, sitting on a curb somewhere making a sad face, because you got to feel the guy. Now, look, if he had hit in a way that would have inspired the Mets to be confident to slot him in the DH, JD Martinez would not be wearing blue and orange uniform. But having said that, the guy had kind of a mopey vibe from what I saw this week, and understandably so.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Vientos is one of those guys, like, it was like, call him up, and he got here. I'm like, yeah, well, actually, he's a quad A guy anyway, so what do we care? Like, he was so, like, get him here, and then all of a sudden, okay, we're done with you. You're not good. You had a week, and you didn't prove anything. So, like, I don't know. I feel like he has something in him, but...
I agree. He hit more homers than anybody this spring. I mean,
but
the guy can hit. I mean, it's not...
He can hit for power. He can't actually hit, but his batting average was also right around 200 this spring. He didn't, aside from those home runs, he didn't do much else at the plate. And that's, you know, that's the thing too, was he raked here in Syracuse last year. He didn't do much at the major league level, and he didn't show much.
He has options. That's part of it. I'm sure he'll get a chance. Options. Somebody will break. Somebody will be useless, and they'll shuffle a little bit. Give it a month. I almost feel worse for DJ Stewart, who they're like, okay, we'll take you, but if we can find anybody else, we are dumping you the second we can think of it. Like, that was basically their quote. It's like, he's on the team for now unless we see somebody.
He actually hit last year, you know, unlike...
Yeah, he faded at the end of September, but whatever, the Mets were out of it. But yeah, he was a high-rated prospect. He was just bounced around with injuries and stuff. I've done it before. I've compared him to Jay Payton as like a, you know, top guy that was injured for a while that has a couple good seasons for you.
Post-hype, yeah.
DJ Stewart?
Yeah, DJ Stewart is the Jay Payton of
2024. No, Jay Payton is way better than DJ Stewart was in his best days.
Well, yeah, but we're getting to that point. This is going to be where DJ Stewart gives us those Jay Payton years where he was good. They were both top-rated prospects.
He's ascendant, is what Mike is saying. He's on the way up.
DJ Stewart's 30 years old. He's not ascendant. He's a backup outfielder at best.
He's not 30 years old, is he?
Yes.
He's at 30 already?
No, he's 30. He's post-hype.
He is very post-hype, which is why I think, you know, he's not a guy...
He just hasn't played. That's all. He's never
shown anything.
Realistically. So how old was Jay Payton when he came to the Mets in 99?
He's probably 25, 26. So. He was a kid.
He was 72.
He was 27 in 99. So, I mean, 3 years. It was really 2000 was Payton's year. So that was his age 28 season. Yeah, he got 2 years on him.
He was
done. Yeah, I'm with Chris.
He was good in Colorado. Yeah, but everyone's good in Colorado. No, I don't know what to make of the guy. I mean, I saw him in Florida. He hit for the cycle. You know, I root for the guy. He's an easy guy to root for, you know. But he was basically on the team because he was Buck's guy. Like, he came up through the Baltimore system when Showalter was still there. So,
I mean, he's gonna out-hit Harrison Bader.
We're going to have a lot to talk about this year.
I'm going to out-hit Harrison Bader. It's fine.
Ohtani takes the under on both of those guys, so
yeah, I think that's probably
that's the final word.
Do we think I know the answer is probably no. Do we think Martinez gets any time in the outfield? I don't think he's played the field.
I don't think he owns a glove.
They said last year he had a total, I think, of two or three innings.
Yeah, in something like that. Yeah.
Year. So the last I looked it up actually because I was curious. The last significant time he played in the outfield was pre-COVID. There is 2017 or 18. So it's been, and he's quite a few years older. And I don't. It's it seems barring like something attempt. Catastrophic, he is not going to play in the field.
Yeah, I just wonder. I feel like you want. Happen. Yeah, we I just feel like you want Alvarez to get a couple of those DH games just as a, you know, catcher with who can hit. Like, you don't necessarily want to sit him for 40, 45 games a year. So you want to,
you know, the other,
what do
the
you
other
do with thing, Martinez, you know,
at one point on a broadcast, I think it was a Steve Gelb's day, one of the spring training games I caught, and they were talking about Starling Marte, and the hope at this point in the spring, a few weeks ago, that Marte could DH once or twice a week with the idea that they'd be able to keep his bat in the lineup and keep him fresh by spelling him, giving him days where he didn't have to play defense. But I think that plan's probably out the window now.
Yeah, you're not yeah, gonna, I'd say.
So
I'm afraid to look at Marte too hard. I have paid almost no attention. I know it was very like banged up last year. They were a little mum about it. Now everybody just treats him like he's basically, you know, 75 and decrepit. But I'm afraid to look at like
watch that's him ascendant, Mike. Looks like ascendant.
He's ascendant.
I don't think he's ascendant towards much besides the retirement age. Right. What?
Because he was so good in 2022. He was fast great and nibble and like.
It was like Pirates Marte. Now he's like Mets Marte. I don't. Do you have spring? Do you have spring numbers? I'm almost ruining the idea that we should look at the spring numbers and see what these.
No,
guys
we shouldn't.
Do.
But
I've got Springer's numbers up on my end here.
Okay. The batting has been pretty lean, and they've had. A it's lot pretty, of quiet
it's
days
pretty ugly. Yeah. Marte hit 167. DJ Stewart hit 189.
I mean,
Lindor hit 150.
Yeah, McNeil didn't spray, hit. Whatever. McNeil came out late. He has not had a hit yet this spring.
Yeah, McNeil's 0 for 11.
Yeah, so
no, that's there's fine. Not 0 for 11 is nothing.
That's half your lineup right there, though. So it's, you know, and JD Martinez, of course, who hasn't swung a bat in a spring training game yet. So that's
Alvarez
actually
hit 214. Beatty hit 255 with his three home runs.
Yeah.
Tyrone Taylor hit 268.
Go on, Tyrone.
And Alonzo hit 320. So there you go. So you had some bats there. All right. It's not so bad.
Yeah, duels. We're looking for pitching duels, guys.
Pitching we are. Okay, that's it. I think I probably said this last week. It seems like we have a good bullpen and we have that, you know, the pop, those home runs that can get us runs like real fast. Like you could be in the sixth inning and all of a sudden Alvarez goes off for three run home run. You're up 3-2 and the bullpen can hold that lead. And I think we might be holding on to more leads than not.
They're also streaky as hitters. Yeah, yeah. I feel even Alonso and Lindor, who were their best hitters last year, had weeks where they were dormant, like for weeks where it was like, okay, they're going to hit. You know they're going to hit, but maybe this today would be a good day to do the hitting now, right? And then Alvarez, too. Alvarez was super streaky last year. So it's like, boy, I missed the 2022 lineup constructed to move base runners along. It was such a station-to-station hitting approach last year, and they haven't changed out. They have a new manager, obviously. They haven't changed the hitting coach, though, so I'm wondering.
No, they did change the hitting coach. I mean,
they did?
Okay. Eric Chavez is back as the hitting coach 2022, 2024. In between, it was some other guy. Oh, I don't know how much Chavez was talking to them. Like, he wasn't gone. He was there.
He was the bench
coach
last year.
I forget what his role was last year, but
he was the special assistant to the guy who fills up the bubblegum bucket.
Right. They have so many coaches, like you can't even keep track of like where guys move and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, that approach of forget about the fact that it makes for much more entertaining baseball to watch on TV, which I think it does. I get bored watching guys striking out, trying to hit the 9-1 homer, but I would, it leads to more innings with more runs and it's just, better recipe for success if your guys have that approach. Now, from what I've seen in the spring, it looks a lot like last year. It looks like a lot of guys swinging from their heels and trying to just yank that ball over the fence. It's hard to tell from my tiny 65-inch television if that's actually what they're doing or not. But I don't know. It's early.
Yeah, right? I think they got enough guys. It depends on McNeil, really. McNeil, and then I think that's where it swings last year versus 2022 is that McNeil's a little bit more of like a drive the ball but not home run guy, like hit the ball, move around, run, sort of high on base guy that
I don't think McNeil knows what McNeil is anymore. And no, I don't think McNeil's we can expect wild. Him to rebound to any version of himself because he's changed his swing so much and changed his approach a lot. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I'm not terribly optimistic about McNeil, but the profile of the guys on the team by and large and the game today is a lot of swing and miss. And, you know, that's kind of been the game for a bit. And, you know, we have that. And I don't think we have outside of like Lindor, there's not a ton of speed. I don't know how much you can expect. You know, Marte to run anymore. Yeah. And, you know, so
Wendell, I guess it's quick, but yeah.
No, Harrison Bader can swing. You actually raise a good point because I do think that McNeil, you know, got away from that approach last year. And the other thing was that in 2022, when McNeil was hitting the ball and driving it, and so was Marte. And he also wasn't doing that last year. And you take both of those guys out of the lineup and you still have Lindor and Alonso and Alvarez, who were all swinging from their heels all season. It's just their approach at the plate. They're just going for it. And it's like, you're leaving a lot of guys high and dry in the interim on those days where they don't connect. That's all.
Yeah,
what's the over under on how many bats Jeff McNeil's going to break this year?
Did he break a lot of bats? Somebody's got to be tracking that, right? It's one of those stats that StatCast doesn't show you that kind of stuff.
It doesn't. That's
you know what? It probably does. They have hitting tracking mechanisms. You can watch the bat speed, bat path. It tells you exactly what angle it's spinning at. They've got all that bat stuff that they haven't put out publicly yet. I bet you there's probably, hey, that bat cracked in sight. You could probably pull that from the data if you really want.
Does that count against your WAR stats? Like, is your WAR lower if you broke more bats? Because
it brings down your VORP.
It brings down your exit velocity, right? You've got the bats broken, so your ball didn't go as far, or maybe it tracks the little shard off instead of the ball.
My VORP has been down for weeks. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's sad for me. I'm working on it though. Hmm.
Old age is hard. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm extra time in the cage. What are you going to do? You know, I'm taking my swings. That's all. What's everybody drinking, though? That's what I want to know.
I am drinking an Irish cream stout by Southern Tier. It's, it's a bottle because I don't know. I don't drink a lot of bottles. Everything's in cans these days. So it's weird to have like a real seasonal bottle. It's a standard Irish stout with cream in it. It's got a little bit of that, like lactose sweetness aftertaste that makes it feel like you have Bailey's in a beer, but not really. It's a nice drinky beer. I'm enjoying it.
Nice. What about you, Chris? What are you working on?
Another half. This is another half. Sixth anniversary. Double dry hopped IPA.
Nice.
It's tastes roughly like every other half IPA, which is one of the things that I love about them, is other half is as standard as IPAs get. I think they all sort of taste the same to me, and it's a taste that I like. So I'm usually pretty confident that I can pick up any other half and enjoy it. They have a couple of oatier ones that I'm not a big fan of, but it says right on the can, oat, hopped, whatever, I don't know. But I'm not a fan. But this is great. I picked this up a couple weeks ago in one of those Wegmans make your own six pack kind of deals. Yeah, anytime you can get, I tell you, like I'm sure we talked, like whenever you can get cut three good cans out of that six pack, yeah, I'll fill it up with crap if I have to, because if you get the good stuff,
yep,
you go for the good stuff.
How about you, Jake? What are you drinking today?
I am currently drinking water tap. It's crisp, clean, nice. Checks in at 0% ABV. Now I'm going, it's only 7:30 PM in New Mexico. So I'm actually going out for beer after this, and I will be drinking Ex Novo Brewing out of Corrales, New Mexico. They have another location up in Portland, but I will be drinking very shortly. I can almost taste it. The Mass Ascension IPA. It's a very well-balanced West Coast IPA. So that's on tap very soon.
That counts. You get credit for on tap down the road. You are the rest of us are all on East Coast time. I'm drinking This is from Willow Rock Brewing, one of the local brewers here in Syracuse, and it is their Galway Irish. It's actually also like Mike an Irish. Mine's not a cream, it's an Irish red ale, but I've had it on tap at the brewery. They actually have it on tap as a nitro, which comes out extra smooth. I love any brew pub where they're serving up nitro beers, and they always have at least one of their either red ales or stouts or porters on nitro when I'm there, which is nice. And yeah, you know, big can Irish red. I bought a 4-pack of them to have around the St. Patrick's Day time frame. You know, we had corned beef, we had some Irish food, and so I wanted to have some red ales in the house. And yeah, it's a good one. I like it. What about Body?
Oh, well, Buddy, let me tell you. Belches on guzzling down a dinosaur delight brew. Oh, yeah. The dandy lil charm caresses my synergetic software like an audit of botanical unicorn gala. Can't believe, I just, hiccups, said that. But, honey, life ain't nothing but memories of the GR, GRH. Growing random hop fields, or sometimes easy boozing Mr. Brooks. Here we, feeling a ping surely, it's floral, fruity in a way not Cap'n Crunch cereal Millie could ever dream of, and with a subtle, but determined, malt character who simply has decided it just ain't ever gonna back down to Sourberry's virus, remember that. Providing full scan. Error detected.
Tremendous.
Wow. Concerned about Body, just a little bit.
She's having a good night.
She's in mid-season form, is what I would say. Yeah.
Sometimes. I was worried for a while, but I think the humans have the upper hand on AI now. So
a little bit.
It just tipped the table right there on that reading. Yeah, it's pretty good though.
They're trying.
Yeah, I'll have what she's having, as the quote goes.
You must enunciate your belches if you have what she's having.
Yeah. I say hiccups all the time when I make a thing. I tell people no, I have hiccups. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they don't have that. They have to work that into the text to speech thing, the emojis to sound effects.
I hope they don't. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Please don't. That's a terrible idea.
I'm hoping to go opening day on Thursday. I've got the new news is that the Mets have a rainbow cake wrapped in egg roll filling, which is supposed to be good. And check out the beer there, which doesn't seem promising, but you know, beer.
But they're expensive there, I can tell you that. They've got a pretty good selection. They got big cans. You get big 16-ounce cans of IPAs and things there.
No, they don't have a lot of different things. They have a lot of seltzer. They have a lot of hard seltzer. They have a lot of fluffy double IPAs, which is fine. You know, I like them. But to me, like, I like them, and I'll have one. I don't want two or three because they get cloying. And in the summer sun, I feel like I want something a little lighter and crisper than that. And they just don't have a lot of good craft options beyond that. It's all the double IPAs and the seltzers. I'm like, oh, give me like a nice Kolsch or like some sort of like,
yeah.
I don't know, dark mild ale or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't go too niche at the ballpark. People aren't there to look for niche.
Yeah, but people also don't care. You could call it like, you know, Pete Alonso's Australian Ale, and people will buy it just because it's a Pete Alonso one. Like, let's put some fun stuff out there. I will care because it's interesting beer, and somebody else will buy because it's got like a Pete Alonso Mashing Dingers on the can or like label or something like that. Just go, like, we go that way, go that route, go full gimmick.
You know, it's unfortunate that they don't have the fantastic beer specials at the major league level that you get at AAA Syracuse Thursday. If any of you were ever so inclined to make the trip up to Syracuse for baseball, and Chris has, God bless him. I owe you a trip to Rochester, by the way, for baseball, Chris. Maybe this summer we'll figure that out.
Absolutely.
But Thursday nights at the ballpark is $3 Saranacs. Used to be $1. Ooh. That, of course, the price of things. For the $3, you get a 12-ounce pour, though. It used to be 8-ounce cups for $1. So the cups did get bigger. You get a $3 Saranac for 12 ounce pour, and they have IPAs, they have lagers, they have pale ales, they have a blueberry blonde ale that they bring in every summer that is particularly refreshing summertime ballpark beer that I like. But you're not getting a $3 beer at Citi Field. Pretty sure.
Well,
of that.
I think I saw that the K Corner is doing $3 of like cans of Coors Light like before the game Thursday, like the dumb trashy bar outside the stadium there, or whatever you call that place.
The chop shops they're selling.
If you're getting less than $10 for any kind of beer in the stadium, though, that's a little surprising to me. And even
this is not the stadium. This is like that McFadden's place that before you go in. That's just like a trashy bar. Yeah.
Yeah. The pregame there.
I will be at a local brewery that's opening early. The Mets first pitch here is 11:10. And so I made sure that they were actually going to be open for the Mets game, and they are. And they're serving $1 hot dogs, which I will have one. I'll probably have one. I don't know if I can have two hot dogs. I don't know how many hot dogs people are reading. I'm not ascending. I'm ascending.
Taking the over. Yeah, the 1.5 is the line from Ohtani on hot dogs for Jake. So we have to see.
Yeah.
The line is 1.5 hot dogs. The Thursdays, technically the Thursdays in Syracuse, they're $1 sodas, $2 hot dogs, and $3 Saranacs. And I will, generally speaking, I'll get a pair of dogs. That's a solid dinner right there. Two dogs.
One and a half dogs for me. We'll see. I'll report back in 2 weeks' time. And $5 local pints. So of lager, of their laid back lager. No heavy IPAs for the daytime.
I don't get any of that stuff, even if I went to the local like bar or brewery around here. Like, it's all $9 for a pint if I'm lucky. Like,
wow,
City Field doesn't even like faze me that much, really.
Everything is ridiculous down there where you live in Jersey, so, or Westchester. Sorry, I forget. You're down.
No, Jersey. I'm in Jersey.
Okay, couldn't remember which one.
Doesn't really matter. I think Westchester is just as expensive. It's a different.
I'm assuming so. Yeah,
different vibe, but.
Out here in the Old West at our local saloon, apparently they take care of the two Mets fans that are going to be there on Thursday. So thank you, Canteen Brewery.
You sit down at the table and play the cards that don't have any numbers on them, where you have to count the symbols to know what card you have. And then
spittoons on the floor.
Good old days. Absolutely. Living your best life. God bless you, Jake.
ABQ, keeping it real.
That's right.
What we do here.
Yeah, Chris, you have plans for your first AAA game in Rochester yet?
No, we have not planned yet. We talked this winter about doing season tickets this year, but it never quite materialized. We were talking with a couple of other friends of ours, and we were debating like splitting four seats among a couple of families, and we split them up and whatever, but it just never quite happened. Opening day for the Red Wings, because the Red Wings are in Syracuse to start the season.
They open Friday here in Syracuse.
Yeah, they open in Syracuse this weekend or next weekend, and then the following week. So we'll see. It's always weather dependent here in upstate New York. You know, the it gets chilly in the evenings at the ballparks. And so we'll see. We have no current plans as of yet.
Yeah, The forecast for the weather in Syracuse, actually, I know that Friday is the home opener, like you're saying, against Rochester, and it's a 2 o'clock game. And the forecast looks pretty good, though. I have a gig at 6:30, and I generally don't do baseball on the same days that I'm playing guitar. It's just too long of a day, and I can't drink early. And then
national anthem, bro. Come on.
Yeah. No, I did not audition to do the national anthem at a Syracuse Mets game this year. I meant to. I missed that. I was looking for a call. Usually I see on social media when they're advertising. I did practice it once or twice. I'd have to figure it out. I don't know it well enough to be able to do it. It would be cool to do it at the ballpark.
I think you need a whammy bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, pull that off.
Yeah, you got to do it up.
Yeah, do it Hendrix style.
You know, Jason, I keep meaning to ask you, have you in your musical Syracuse exploits crossed paths with Rocky Fiola at all?
Rocky Fiola? No, that name does not.
Rocky's a friend of mine. He works at ESF, and he has done he's much like yourself out there playing and whatnot. And I wasn't sure if you had crossed paths with him somewhere along the way.
No, but hopefully you and I will both be playing at the same Porch Fest again this summer.
I plan to.
Yes, as do I.
That Porch Fest is a good. It's a really good time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It really is a good time. It's very low key. It's great.
Yeah, I'm doing two of those. There's one in Fulton. I'm doing in July, and then the one in Fairhaven in August. So it should be a good time.
Mike and I are working on a band. I hope you can get us on the bill.
Absolutely, 100%.
I play nothing. I played the violin 20 years ago. That's about the last time I touched an instrument. I got an oboe over here.
He plays the oboe.
I got an oboe right over here. I don't know any of the notes, but it's there.
I've been looking for an oboe guy. It's just hard to find one.
Right? You can't. It's hard to find an oboe guy.
Tough.
Give me a couple years and I got you an oboe girl for you, but that's about
even
it.
Better. Great.
Yes. That's what the people are looking for.
I like it.
Yes, agreed. Come bring it to one of my open mics. Do an oboe thing. That'd be sweet.
Okay, I think we've got it. I think we've got this opening day podcast under the gun. Any last thoughts on opening day? Hopefully next time we talk, the Mets will have a record and
we'll stats. Be 11-0 or something. I look forward to the next time we get together
about undefeated season. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yes, baseball. It's just baseball. It's on. It counts. It's real. It's happening. I'm excited. Not gonna lie.
It's all that matters.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, but hope the weather holds out. So thanks for listening to us. Thanks for giving us reviews, giving us 5 stars, subscribing, telling your friends, tweeting Mets stuff at us, tweeting beer stuff at us, and or not tweeting because Twitter sucks, but, you know, getting us somewhere. And yeah, let's go Mets.
And let's go beer.